listening to the Social Media Church Podcast, episode number 92. This is the podcast for conversations with church leaders about social media. And my name is DJ Chuang. This is a special episode that was live streamed and recorded over a technology platform called Spreecast. Usually, we had actually scheduled this as a Google Plus Hangout on Air event, and wouldn't you know it, 10 minutes before the go time, I got a message that Hangout on Air is temporarily not available due to YouTube maintenance, so I was not able to live stream and had to scramble for another platform that would live stream as well as record. So I was able to jump over to Spreecast, and we had dozens of viewers that also joined us over there. Pretty good question and answer module there. However, I could not get my microphone to work once I switched over, and because I had set up the show as a producer, I did not want the show to be jeopardized. So what happened, you'll hear, is Nils Smith jumped in as a guest host and ran a wonderful conversation and hosted this special edition of Social Media Church Podcast and had a fun launch party with some of his compadres. So thank you, Nils Smith of Community Bible Church. And this was on the occasion of launching OnlineChurchLeaders.com, a free training platform for you and your church to learn how to develop your online campus, whether you have a live stream yet or not, or if you've got a online church up and running already. There's 10 modules at that website, OnlineChurchLeaders.com, that will help you to take it up to the next level. And did I mention it was a free resource? Yes, free. So go check it out. And I've got a few show notes to the other guests that were part of this episode and the launch party at socialmediachurch.net. So I want to give a shout out and thank Jason Morris and Jay Cranda and Jason Kasten for joining us on this web event. So I want to thank all these guys for being part of the launch party, as well as all the viewers, especially the ones that chimed in with some questions. Not only did we have to switch platforms to run this web event, one of our guests had a computer crash, and one of the other guests was on Wi-Fi that had a little too much buffering. So there may be a few words here and there that you may not be able to hear clearly, but I think you'll get the gist of it. And at about the 15-minute mark, we have a special guest that jumped in on the video portion. You can watch the video if you'd like, or just listen to the rest of the launch party conversation. Here is Nils Smith hosting the Social Media Church Podcast.
We're here with the Social Media Church Podcast, and I'm the new host of the Social Media Church Podcast. I've replaced DJ Chuang, who is no longer the host of the Social Media Church Podcast.
We're taking over!
We've taken this over. So I'm here with Jason Morris and Jay Cranda. Jason, you are the innovation pastor and leader of having the coolest office in church history. Can you share a little bit what you do, where you are, and how you got a cool office?
This is my cube. I affectionately call it my tesseract. It is my cube in four-dimensional space. So I have a standing desk. I got like this mount thing, and I guess you can't see it. I'm all cabled in. It's all very zen, very clean. And I stand up all day. I have a standing desk, and it's pretty awesome. And kind of unnerving for people when they first walk in.
Yeah. I understand. It's exciting. So I hear there's a lot of health values to standing desks. Is that really true, or is it just a myth?
Oh, that basically the whole reason I did it was just pain avoidance, because I had lower back problems, and I started off on like a yoga ball, and that helped. I found that if I sit for extended periods of time, my lower back starts hurting. You know, I'm not as young as I used to be. So,
Yeah. Well, speaking of young, we're here with Jay Cranda as well from Saddleback Church. He's the youngest Church Online pastor at 14 years old. We are glad to have you. Jay, share a little bit. And tell how long have you been doing Church Online? Did you have a birthday recently? Are you 15?
If I'm 14, I was just thinking, I have a three-year-old, so I was thinking about how young I'm not gonna mess up the quality of this podcast by going to where you were going, but I've been doing online ministry. Actually, I just celebrated 4 years on staff at Saddleback. It's like this week, so which is cool. And I've been doing online ministry for about 4 to 5 years at Saddleback, from volunteer to part-time to full-time for the last 2 years is how long the online pastor role has existed in a full-time capacity. So, and so we've gone everywhere from literally having a couple hundred to now to where we're at now. And so it's been really great. And I'm not 14, but I'm not going to tell you my age. So
it's going to discredit me. You just look young. So your story with Church Online and Jason, did you start the internet campus, online campus there?
We church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you start the campus or did you inherit it?
I started it.
Online campus. Yep. Very good. And I was a part of starting too. Jay, your story though is very unique in that you inherited, the online campus, but you saw the opportunity. It was kind of sitting out there. Can you share a little bit about that story and what the opportunity that you saw that was so appealing to you from a ministry perspective?
Yeah, well, being at Saddleback Church, our pastor is very innovative and online savvy in that sense. So we had a website early on in like the 90s, there wasn't much to it. And then they actually launched about 8 to 10 years ago, they launched an online way to watch the service. And it was really for members only. You had a password. And so we've always had a way for you to watch live services.
Way back in the 90s.
I know a lot of people are giving out passwords. That's what I've heard. And if you were part of the Purpose Driven Network or some, if you knew a guy, you had a way. And so there was a way to watch it. And it was kind of just sitting there dormant about 5 years ago when I was working on the communications team, and somebody was just putting up notes. They didn't have any moderators anymore because before staff were doing it, and then that died off. And it was just a site sitting there. And I just, about 5 years ago, I just kind of asked somebody, I said, can I do whatever I want on there? Does anybody care? And they said, no one's thinking about it. And I just started to experiment. And then a couple leaders, at our church said, hey, why don't you invest more time, and gave some vision. And I gave some vision and it just kind of grew from there. And so it just was something that was there and we weren't doing much with it. We had a lot of people watching, but there was no community, and it just kind of, it's grown a ton in the last couple of years. So,
That's awesome. And I think, you know, as we get into this conversation, we're talking about online church leaders this week and kind of our vision for starting that community. Is that the core, I would say, of successful online churches is vision. And I think it's a top-down, senior pastors having vision. But I think the core leader, too, of who's driving online church is it's not just following a plan or a process. And you need those things, but you've got to have a vision. And I think in the campuses that I've seen fail and the campuses I've seen success, vision is at the core of that. And so I hope that from the things that we've all experimented with, that people can have more clarity in the visions that they create. DJ just shared with me that I haven't introduced myself. So I'm Neil Smith at Community Bible Church in San Antonio, Texas, the church that I serve. I have the same title as you, Jason, as Innovation Pastor, which basically means that I have a vague enough title that I can do just about anything that our senior pastor wants me to do. But my primary role and focus is within online church and online ministry. And so it's been fun for me to start. We launched online church 4 years ago this month. So it's been a fun journey and exciting to see as that technology has grown and developed the ministry possibilities. So as we get into this conversation about online church leaders, I would love to get any questions. And Nate, thank you for the compliment on my shirt. I wore my psychedelic shirt today. So that one was for Nate. So online church leaders is something that really, you know, I would say came out of something that Nate has led with the iMinistry conference. And we really felt a burden to see more churches launch an online church and to see those ministry opportunities there with online church. And so really creating a platform and a training resource to help churches get started. And because what we always hear is we don't even know where to begin. And we see Saddleback doing it and we see Life Church doing it. But the technology seems expensive. The, you know, you have hundreds of volunteers and thousands of people. And what do we do when they get saved? We overthink it. We're also joined by Jason Kasten. Jason just started the internet campus or the online campus at the Potter's House. Jason, are you 2 weeks into it now? Or what's your story with Potter's House?
Yeah, about 2 weeks in and just getting started. Wow. And, you know, looking forward to a lot of things. We got a few growing pains and we're still learning as we go. But the platform has been able to give us just ways to connect that we never could have thought was possible before. So it's great to see the ways people are engaging on a much deeper level now.
I bet you just blew up when you launched it. I bet you just went nuts. You probably just went like what I want to hear about what's going on. Like, I just want to hear.
Oh man, it was definitely like I said, growing pains.
Talk about the process because you've been talking about it for like a year.
Totally.
Starting back from the beginning, we were looking at ways that we could do, you know, just have a bigger, better platform. So we started looking at Media Social, and that was the actual software that we utilized. And we just looked at bringing on an internet church pastor because we had to initially we started with just looking at it from a technical perspective of how can we build this platform, make it social media friendly and all that type of good stuff that we liked. And then as we got closer to it, we started bringing on. I mean, it got much, much larger to the point where we had to bring in about 15 to 20 hosts. And we had live prayer, so we have about 10 elders that are praying live during the services. And so we had an online audience of about, I want to say about 18,000. So
awesome.
Just the entire thing just grew. And to the point also where the rebroadcast, normally we just focus on rebroadcasting the service, but because of using Media Social on that platform, we were able to show a whole bunch of more stuff. Stuff about conferences, Potter's Touch TV shows, Bible studies. We just made it into a huge, guess pretty much a TV channel. So that was something that just took it to a whole nother level. Now, one thing we did see was as we were ramping up, you know, we saw that the more people we let in, we were learning how to interact with all of them. And that was kind of something that, you know, we're still trying to gather and how do we connect with everybody and stuff like that. But just seeing, you know, the ways that people are looking at it and enjoying it. Some people not liking it. They don't like change, and some things they don't, you know, things are different than what it was before. So we're just seeing all that and adjusting to it. But I mean, yeah, it's been something amazing to see.
So I think Jason, I mean, your story is so unique. And naturally, you know, with TD Jakes, you have such a large platform going into it. But I think the other side of online church. So, I think every church should jump online, especially if you're already recording your messages. But that's not the norm. You know, most churches aren't going to start with 18,000 people, but you've got to start somewhere. And I want to welcome Jordan Johnson joining us from Omaha. But Nate Merrill asked this question. What would you say is the most important aspect of your online campus in the first year? Jason, if you want to tackle this from your perspective, because you've been a part of launching and now you're, you know, several years into it.
You're talking to me, year, Jason, or him, Jason?
Part of development.
Okay. All right.
You, Jason.
Okay.
Oh, Jason Morris. Okay, I'm sorry. Jason.
First year, one of the things that I would work on would be just getting your systems down as to what roles you want to provide. Before we start worrying about numbers and the number of people coming, you got to get your systems in place first, because if you don't do it that way, then when the numbers come, you won't be able to handle the onslaught ministry-wise well. And what ends up happening is that you end up capping yourself, not from a technological perspective, although you could, but from just a ministry bandwidth perspective. And I think that just for most people, when they're starting out, they don't know what they don't know yet. And so they have a general idea of how they think it should be. But I, in the first year, had a different concept of what Church Online would look like than it looked the second year. And so my vision actually has been changing and evolving over the years. And as people have come on and our church has expanded, you know, when you're just dealing with people that had a sick kid coming to church, the way you minister to them is different than the way that you minister to someone who's coming in from Pakistan who doesn't have any context at all for what your church's culture is. So I would just work on the volunteer team first, because then that gives you the launching pad to do more. It's like a church plant, really. You focus in on your core group, yeah. Build them up, yeah. So that then when you come and you have the ability to expand, you've got the team that can support that. Otherwise, you're going to run yourself in the ground.
You know, I think any online church leader, and I love it. I think it's so comparable to a church plant and launching an online church campus. And you get your core group, and they, you know, you build that team and you build those systems. And naturally, we have then local churches that we're building it out of. So you take that DNA from your local church and translate that to online. And I think, Jason, you hit it on the spot of, I don't know any online church leader who had an idea of what it was going to be like, and it was exactly what their idea was like. It's very different than we think it's going to be, and we have to constantly adapt. Jason, being just a couple weeks into it, I'm curious, what has been, Jason Kasten, now, what has been unique or different than you expected going into
it? I think
it?
The main thing was we didn't know how the people would take to it. So the things we're learning is, you know, how much interaction they want to have and what's really going on with them while they're watching the actual service. That type of real-time ministry, we didn't really know how that was going to go. Also, we didn't know that how stuff was going to, people were going to respond to stuff like live prayer. We didn't know, you know, it's a lot of stuff that even what Jason was saying, and you know, and you all, as I've asked you all over the last year or so, what your experiences were, we had an idea what we thought it was going to be, but like you said, it wasn't that. It was, sometimes it was more than that, and sometimes it was less than that. One of the main things we saw that was more was a lot of live prayer and how many people want to pray while they're watching the service and what they're doing while they're watching the services. Something we didn't expect was with the rebroadcast, people want to control the rebroadcast. We use a schedule with Media Social and stuff like that. So it just kind of, if they miss something, they have to wait till it comes on again, and they don't like that. They want it on demand. So stuff like that is what we're learning as we go on the fly, as far as what people's habits are and how they like to interact with our service in particular. And then the other things, they love the community feel of looking at the map and seeing where everybody is and talking to people and realizing that all around the world, real-time ministry is happening with these online platforms.
Yeah, I agree, Jason, completely with everything you've said. And our community has those same things that they're drawn to. And I think as leaders, we learn how to really engage them.
Are we there?
Further. DJ asks a good question that's very relevant. This question, Jason Morris, I'll go to you on. Technical difficulties is a part of what we do in dealing with them and responding to them. What do you do? How have you responded to technical difficulties within online church in communicating and just responding to those things?
From the very beginning, you kind of have to decide what your volunteer culture is going to be like and what your tech response culture is going to feel like. So if you're the type of person that when things break on a computer, that you get all stressed, that environment, as you grow, will get more frustrating for you. And if you do that, then you just need to have a guy who can handle that, because it's probably not your best role. The way that our culture works is when stuff breaks, and it does all the time, when it's not if it breaks, but when it breaks, we all laugh with it and we roll with it. And some of our best ministry opportunities have come out of technical difficulties. Like, it is amazing how when you build a team that understands and you talk and train that through. This is
dance. Oh my gosh.
This is
hey, get this in. See, this is the downside of a standing office. Okay, this whole open office thing.
We talk to him everything he knows about technology.
I want a drink of whatever you're having.
This is Dan Sutherland. This is Jake
from Saddleback. He's the online campus pastor there.
Hey, buddy.
Jason Chapman over there for Potter's House and TJ. He's the online campus pastor. He's been doing it now for 2 weeks. And then we got Mills over here. He's written like, what, half a dozen books on social media, and he's like the master here. So,
wow,
you guys, 2 dozen.
I'm honored to stand in your presence. Good to see you.
Sure. Yeah, that's the downside of an open office. So, here's rolling with the technology. We have a culture that kind of rolls with it, like you just saw, where ministry opportunities, like one time when the feed was down, I trained our guys, our volunteer team, and told them, look, if the video is down, here's what you do. Step one, tell them to refresh. Step two, you know, message me and we'll be on it. In the meantime, just because you don't have a video doesn't mean that you can't have church. Because many times we think that those things equate to one another and they don't. Church happens when people get together and encourage one another and pray for one another. In the chat, that's happening right now. So take advantage of this time. When the video's down, just tell them, hey, we're working on the video right now. Anybody have anything they want to pray about? And the chat just lights up. And we've seen it where even our platform, the whole web page has gone down. And we put up little things that says, okay, we're going to be in the Facebook group right now. And we'll have this whole Facebook thing happen because stuff broke. And sometimes the types of ministry that occurs is actually greater in those types of improvised, spontaneous environments than having, you know, like the schedule thing where everything's working the way it's supposed to. And our volunteer team has gotten so used to just rolling with it that they see those things not as impediments to ministry, but opportunities for ministry, because now it's all on them. It's not on the video. And so it's our job to overcome the technological barriers so that real ministry happens, because at the end of the day, ministry is people with people. It's not tech ministering to people. It's people ministering to people. And we can do that just by grabbing a phone. We can do that with an email, whatever. You know, that's the ethos of our team, is that we will do anything to minister to other people, even use technology, because we don't see the technology as necessarily it's the tool that we use, but it is a tool so that ministry happens, people to people. Does that make sense? Jason, that's a perfect point, is that this is church. And this is online church is not about the technology. The technology just gives us another ministry opportunity. And we as leaders need to be ministry leaders, not technology managers. I think we need the technology to work. And we need, you know, video quality and production that adds value to our ministry. But you're right, we could have none of that. Our online church could just be a Facebook page, and we can do great ministry, powerful ministry right there. And so, you know, one of the phrases we've stolen from Granger Church is that everything we do online is online church. And so anytime, whether it's on a Facebook page or a Twitter account, if we're connecting with people, we're doing online church. It's not just our video streaming worship services. It's really deepening and building those relationships. I would love to hear from either one of you guys any stories that you have of life connections, of life change, transformation through your online church campus. Jason Castor, you're only 2 weeks into it, but I know you've been engaged online with your community. So I would say you're doing online church for some time. Do you have any stories that jump out to you?
No, nothing I could think of off the top of my head that like jumps out as far as that. I think one of the things I want to jump back to what Jason was talking about real quick before I go into that. It was him talking about the technical issues, because we've been 2 weeks into it as far as with this new platform, and we've had a lot of technical issues. So one of the things that we did is we had a couple of our backup site. We have backups in place so that as soon as our stuff started going down, we redirected people to a backup eChurch page so that they can continue to watch and continue to engage and so on and so forth. But I like the way you said that, you know, not if it happens, when it happens, because as we were scaling up and all these people were coming on, our stuff started going down. And last week, the first week we did it, crashing would be an understatement as far as what happened. So, but the thing is, of course, you know, panicking wasn't something that we did, and we just kept moving with it and redirected people and just kept the stuff up. So I definitely like that. As far as the stories, one of the things I always like to see is I can think about it is we've had a couple of international online viewers. When they come visit to the States, they make sure they come to the actual church and meet with the pastor and all that type of good stuff. But seeing somebody who on your online campus is just a little dot on a map at some faraway country, and then seeing them actually in person talk about how it impacted them really, really changes the game and helps you see things on a much grander scale as far as the impact of this of ministry on this level and stuff like that. And that type of stuff, you know, you know that's happening, but until it hits you in your face and somebody tells you that they came 12,000 miles all the way here and this is what you've helped them do and helped them achieve, you know, it really hits home.
And that's awesome. That's awesome. And Jason Morris, I'm curious from your
I've got a lot of
4 years. Stories jump out.
Let me give you one that. Well, can I do two stories? Okay. Two stories. We'll do the first one. There was Jolene from Iowa. You probably guys know her. She started off just being invited by a church person who happened to be the mom of one of our volunteer team. She was invited to be at the Facebook social thing, sharing it, and she was at a place where God just used that. She came online, accepted Christ, and then wanted to know how to be a part of the church. We weren't really ready for that yet. And we made a membership class, church membership class, just for her. She started inviting other people. Then she wanted to get baptized. That's part of what we talk about in our membership class, part of that discipleship thing. She wanted to become baptized. And as we were working that out, she decided she wanted to lead an online life group, a small group. And she's been doing that now for the past 2 years, does it better than anybody else. Because she wanted to get baptized, she was up in Iowa, and it's about a five-hour trip. We got our volunteer team together, all piled in a van, took a road trip up to where she was because she wasn't able to travel. Baptized her, did a whole video about it, showed it to the whole church. So that was like an end-to-end. Now she is an experienced captain that is taking over entire services with entire volunteer teams that she herself recruits from people online and from around. I don't even know these people, but she knows them, and she's the one that's managing that whole schedule of volunteers and everything. And that right there is a perfect picture of end-to-end discipleship from online, completely online, from knowing Christ to getting baptized, becoming a member, being a volunteer, being a leader, and now influencing other people in small groups and stuff like that. That if it weren't for all of that, and she would be the first to tell you this, Jolene would say, if it weren't for my side online, she doesn't know where she'd be spiritually. And she is a powerhouse, man. It is so cool to see what God is doing through her over the past 2 years. That's number one. Story two, my son, at the time he was 9 years old, wanted to be doing this stuff too, because he's a techie kind of like me. And he started off doing slide ruling and then the occasional chat artist and stuff like that. But he really wanted to be a prayer ninja and pray with folks, even though he was only 9 years old. And the cool thing about being online is nobody really knows how old you are. You can be 9 or you could be 90, and it kind of all feels the same in the chat. And there was this one guy who came in on clicking on some Google ad or something like that and wanted to talk sex and everything. And he ended up clicking the live prayer thing. And Isaac, my son, 9 years old, was in a chat with this guy that was Muslim and a little, I wasn't really sure where he was coming from. And my son at that very moment, we had a technical issue. And Jason, you probably know exactly what I'm talking about. It happens at the worst time. Here I am coaching my son on how to counsel my, you know, 9-year-old son, how to counsel a guy that is going through a porn addiction, you know, and trying to teach him what to say, you know, kind of feeding him stuff, you know, giving him the encouragement and everything. And our video feed blows up. And I'm like, oh, I've got to leave right now. You're about ready to wrap this up. And so I'll come back later. Well, I go try to resolve the video feed. And then I had another brief and stuff like that. I come back 45 minutes later, and my son is still talking to this guy. And my brain is like going in all different kinds of directions. It's like, dude, what? Why are you still talking to this guy? You know, this guy could be some crazy dude, you know? But as I was looking through the chat, my son, 9 years old, totally led this guy to Christ online, all the way from him clicking on a porn ad all the way to accepting Jesus in about 50 minutes. It was nuts. And I looked at it, and I mean, it's just Romans Road stuff, you know, like sharing verses, doing all these things, you know. And it was funny because at the end of the thing, he was like, you know, the other guy on the end, he was from Saudi Arabia, and he was like, you know, thanks a lot. Me so much. I really appreciate everything you did for me. And then my son's like, hey, I bet you didn't know I'm only 9 years old. You know? and I was like, dude, what did you just do? And then this guy from Saudi Arabia, he says, you were way mature for your age. I would have never thought you were 9, and just wanted to let you know, I'm 21 or 23, I forget which what it was. But he said, you just helped me out immensely. Thank you. And that's one of the things that I think with online ministry, because it takes certain types of limitations away, it creates scenarios for ministry that before were unavailable to us, one of which is distance. And that's what Jason Kasten was talking about. People from all international, online ministry takes the distance barrier away. But there are other barriers too, like time that Jason is also experiencing, and you've done it too, Nels, where being rebroadcasting stuff, you're taking a time barrier away for people as well. And there are other things too where you can take the other ministry barriers of even age away from people. And what it's doing is it's freeing up the church to be the church in an expression that before really couldn't exist, and now it can. So I think just having the power that God has given us, we need to take advantage of this stuff.
Well, I think that's huge and what online church does is it breaks down barriers that existed from a global scale, go and just reach so many people. But I think it's interesting. And I love the first story that you tell too, because it's reaching people in the US too, that might not ever go to a physical church campus. But right. You know, I think, and you guys, I know, have global audiences as well. We reach 150 countries a week. We couldn't travel to those countries, you know, and we definitely couldn't do that in 4 years time. And I think, and it's taken us a while to build that, but I believe any church that's just getting started today can do that in a matter of months. And it's really, right. You know, Google is giving away, you know, I'm always selling Google for nonprofits, but they're giving away a global ministry impact for free. And I just, you know, I think churches, I want to shake church leaders and just say, just do this, just start. The guys at Upper Room Technologies here in San Antonio took me to lunch the other day and showed me this new thing called a podcaster, and you connect it to your iPad, and like you put a lens on there and you can stream right out of your iPad. And it's cheap, you know, I mean, it's a couple $100. And any church can just set that up in the back of a room. You can set the little iPad on a tripod, and you're streaming your church services, and the church online platform is for free, and Google Ads are free. This isn't complicated and expensive, and you can be reaching hundreds, you know, of countries and thousands of people all over the world. It's just an incredible opportunity. The story that – there's several stories I'd love to tell as well. I'll tell one now. That jumps out to me is one of our volunteers or connected online members is a pastor in Nepal. And so he is fed spiritually through online church, and he's part of our community, and he's become one of our online hosts. And he's an incredible man of God. And so we just built a relationship over time. And one of our leaders, one of our female leaders, started leading a women's Bible study for his women in his church. So they gather 40 women in this church in no air conditioning, you know, in Nepal. He sets up a laptop and she Skypes in at 4 a.m. our time, you know, and it's whatever, you know, I don't know what time it is there. And she leads 40 women, you know, in a Bible study right. every Saturday. That couldn't happen, you know, that couldn't happen even 5 years ago, I don't think. And he is a part of our church. He's a part of our family. And so we were able to give away, we had like a sweater collection here. I was able to Skype in while they gave away these sweaters to these families and their churches. We developed a very real relationship with their church. And I think what so many people miss with online church is just how real the relationships are. That people, the perception is that it's just a bunch of dots. Even the map is not real to some people. It's just a dot. But when you really begin to understand, those are people. Each of those dots is a person. And as you build those relationships, I honestly feel more connected to a lot of my online church family than I ever have to my face-to-face church community. The relationships are so real. They're so personal. And they're so meaningful to me. And as a, you know, and I did 10 years of a youth pastor, probably the relationships that I would highlight in my ministry highlights, 90% of them are probably my online relationships that I formed over the last 4 years. So I want to transition to online church leaders and really what we've built there. And the core of what we wanted to create is kind of that just start. You know, I think with a lot of churches, when they get into online churches, that they kind of overthink it and they want to have, and Jason Morris, you talked about strategies and systems. You need those. You shouldn't go into this blindly. But what we wanted to create with online church leaders is we want to give away our systems. We want to give away, and we'll get into video tricks and we'll get into setting up your platform. And Jason Caston, you talked about online giving. We talked about analytics and measurements, and you need that toolbox. And so we wanted to give away this toolbox and just tell churches, you know, just get started, and you'll figure out the technology, the systems, you'll adapt to you and who you are. And honestly, the video gets easier and easier all the time. And so I think even a church plant starting out should at least set up an iPad in the back of the room, start streaming, and see what doors God opens up through that. It doesn't hurt anything from my perspective, and it only opens up new opportunities. I'm curious if you guys have any other just advice or words of wisdom for churches that are just kind of on that fence of, oh, should we jump into this, or is this going to be one more thing to do? Jason Morris, I'll let you speak to that.
Don't feel
first.
Like that you need to have everything perfect, that it's got to be, you know, I don't want to discount what I said as far as systems and people infrastructure is concerned, but many times they overthink the technology side, and the technology changes so quickly that whatever plan you come up with, if you're going to take 6 months to implement it, it's going to change on you anyway. And so you're just better off starting it and then rolling with it. That's how I feel about it, because you'll probably end up changing it within 6 months to a year anyhow. So even if it doesn't work perfectly, it's all right. You just iterate. Just do the Google way and just iterate. One of the things also that I would say is to take advantage of all of these online church leaders. That I think another aspect of online ministry is taking another barrier away, is the barrier of that before existed between churches. I don't think it's by accident that you have a lot of these churches working together, whether it be from Saddleback or, you know, whatever church we're dealing with here, my church, you know, Potter's House, you know, whatever church we might be dealing with, just the very fact that we're all talking about this together, that's progress and accomplishment by itself, you know, let alone being able to, on the get-go, and this is what I love about some of the things that you put together, Nils, is that it's actually going to be saving me a lot of time, because I have pastors who call me up and want me to do some consulting with them and tell them how to do everything, when now I can tell them, here, go to this webpage and it'll teach you everything you need to know from people who probably do it better than I do. So
Oh, that's great, man. You know, why not take advantage of that? You know, so I think just the very fact that all of us working in the online space as ministers online together, we're in this for the kingdom, because you have to have a mentality of global ministry, and everybody is getting the idea that we're beginning to see the world the way God sees it. And we're beginning to see that those barriers that before existed between my church and your church, and you're on this block and I'm on this block, well, if we're all reaching the world anyway, who cares? You know, 500 years from now, we're all going to be working together anyhow. We all have the same boss anyway. We might as well get used to it. And so I love what this collaborative effort that is occurring. And I know that it is the ethos and the passion of all of us to help the greater kingdom of God and to help the Big C Church. So take advantage of the tools that are out there. And if a certain person resonates with you, then call them up. I mean, nobody's going to tell you, no, I don't want to talk to you. You know, all of us understand that we're in this together.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And I appreciate your encouragement today, Sid, for what we're doing, online church leaders. And that's our hope, too, is that, you know, we build an ecosystem of continued collaboration. I've been so blessed in my 4 years of doing online ministry that so many people invested in me and opened up, you know, kind of their back end to me to let me see and learn their systems. And I'm grateful that so many, you know, other leaders jumped in as we basically just kind of opened up this web portal and then led other online church leaders that kind of shared their expertise. And it's exciting to see the collaboration that's happened. Steve Perky has a question here. What do you look for in an online campus pastor? And this is a good question that I hear a lot. Jason Caston, I would love to hear your perspective.
Yeah, you know, and my perspective is different because you know, I'm not an online campus pastor. I'm more of the guy who helped build the platform. So when we were looking at that opportunity, we were looking for someone who was tech savvy enough to understand the platform, as far as not master it or anything like that. They had the tech people like myself to call on for that, but understood it enough to know here are the features that you can use to minister to people. And then had the pastoral side of, you know, a genuine care and loving for the people, and be able to come up with ways that they can utilize this platform to again do ministry on a global scale and however they want to reach ministry and pull all that stuff together, like the people who are doing the online prayer, the hosts who are encouraging the conversations and reaching people, and then including the social media aspect of it, as well as how to reach people on those platforms and tying that all in. So we needed somebody to see that large vision, because that's what this platform was for. But then also, you know, like I said, some tech savvy, not too much. And that's what we were looking for as far as that. And when we found someone who was able to do that, Pastor Green, who was doing that, then that kind of put it all together. But those were the different aspects that we were kind of looking at when we put this whole thing together to put this whole internet church team that we have here.
Yeah, that's great. I think, you know, just to piggyback on what you said, is it's, you have to understand the technology, but it's not about the technology. It's a pastor. And somebody who can shepherd that audience. And, you know, one of the things I would add is, and I think it depends on your goal, what you're trying to accomplish, but somebody who culturally is really kind of sees the world and has a desire to reach the world. So there's some people that I think are teenage, you know, like youth pastors that really want to connect with teenagers. And there's some people that, and I think even almost like mission-minded people, that really have that passion to reach globally and connect cultures and cross those barriers. Jason Morris, do you have any other questions you would add to that question?
Except enough, because many times we're thinking, oh, this is online ministry, therefore he needs to be a tech guy with ministerial ability, and it needs to be the other way around. You need to have a guy who's leading it with ministerial abilities that has a little bit of tech skill, so he doesn't feel completely overwhelmed. And especially as the ministry grows over time, that becomes more and more the case, because you create systems of technology that become self-sustaining after a while. And if you have a techie guy, he's going to get bored with it after a year or two, and he's going to have to hand it off
to somebody who's a little bit more ministerial. And we've seen that happen, you know, online ministries, you know, a couple of years down the road, you know, they just hand it off because they, you know, if you're a tech guy, you kind of get bored with it and then you get overwhelmed with the ministerial side. So having that pastor's heart that understands technology, but at the same time is willing to overcome technology to do whatever it takes to reach that person, to pastor that person, to love on that person, whether it means an email, a phone call, a Facebook page, a tweet, or an online platform, he's going to do whatever he needs to do to minister to somebody. That's the guy you want. Not necessarily the guy who knows CSS, HTML, JavaScript. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's good. That's real good. Jeff just popped in a question that just said, what's the website we're referring to? It's onlinechurchleaders.com, onlinechurchleaders.com. And I know that will be in the show notes. Nate Merrill also had a great comment addressing the question we were just talking about. He says, I think it's important to find someone who is all right with failing. If failure kills you, this isn't the right area of ministry for you. Failing forward is so key to what we do. I think he nailed it with that.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know anyone who hasn't, you know, gone through a failure in this minute, if not multiple failures. Well, we'll wrap up with this question. And Jason Morris, I've seen you as a specialist in this area. So if you could address what do you do when the chat in your online church campus gets quiet? Nobody's talking. How do you stir up that conversation?
Okay, part of it is training our chat artists that, especially when they're following the notes, they will copy paste the notes. That's one way of doing it, and that's just super. It's like low level entry bar kind of thing. You know, dude, if he just filled in a note there that's in the notes, just copy that and paste it in the chat. There's two things. One is it keeps the conversation going a little bit, and the second thing is on the Church Online platform, it does real time translation into other languages. So if we have someone that's international that's coming in that is hearing English but doesn't quite catch everything, then if our chat artist posts that very same fill-in in the chat area, it'll get translated into his language. And so at that point, you're more helpful for that guy. And so that's like bottom level. Everybody does that. And then the other thing is to ask open-ended questions. Like, have you ever felt that way? Or, wow, that point is really making me think, what do you feel about it? You know, these random kinds of really open-ended questions are super, super helpful as the sermon progresses, especially that really spark conversations. And then to not be afraid when ministry looks like it might actually happen, just pray right there in the chat, man. Don't ask for the person to click like prayer and get them off and distract them and stuff like that, because the percentage of folks that will actually pick you up on it are a whole lot less. Just take it upon yourself to minister. If somebody's, you know, saying, yeah, I felt that way sometimes, you know, sometimes I get discouraged about that. And then right then just say, you know, just pray it out right there in the chat, you know, Father, you know, I know that so-and-so has been struggling with this, you know, just be with him right now, whatever. That creates a kind of culture and an environment in that chat area that you really don't want to miss. Because when people start focusing in on the spiritual ministry that's happening in the chat, instead of just talking about what they had for breakfast or that I like the song or hello from Pakistan, you know, it takes the interaction to a totally different level. And some of that can be sparked off by the notes. Some of it can be sparked off by questions, but you have to follow it up with ministry and follow it up with prayer. And that usually, you know, seals the deal right there. 1-2 punch.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And I, you know, I think it's an art that takes time to really develop that. And you develop that from doing it. I think that's really the only way. You know, there's some people that are natural with it, but for the most part, you've got to just really engage and you'll learn how to really push and lead that conversation online, because it is a unique platform and communication style. I want to thank everyone for joining us for this, you know, as we celebrate Online Church Leaders launching today. Jason and Jason, thanks for contributing to Online Church Leaders. Thanks for hanging out with us today. Jay Cranda hopped in and he texted me. He had some Wi-Fi issues at his computer. But if we could all also support Jay, his book released today. So he has an ebook. It's just $3. It's Social Media Made Easy for Small Businesses. It's a great book. I've been able to pre-read it. It's only $3, but for $5, you can get an audio seminar and plan guide. So I've seen the ebook. I haven't heard the audio seminar and plan guide, just an extra $2. I'd go get that today. And it's a good quick read, and you'll get a lot out of it. So ministry leaders will get a ton out of Jay's book as well. So if you would go and grab that, and I'm sure DJ will put that in the show notes. But I appreciate you guys joining us and for this episode of the Social Media Church Podcast.